This morning I want to talk to you about, what's that in your hand? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for that you give us joy and that laughter is good like a medicine. Lord, I thank you that you give those gifts to us, Lord, that the good gifts, the joyful gifts. Father, that joy is our stronghold. Lord, I pray that you would go before me as I preach this message this morning. Lord, that they would be your words and not mine. And that people see you and not me. Because, Lord, it's all said and done. They'll forget about me, but they need to remember you. So, Father, I pray that you would bless the word and that it would go and it would find good ground. Lord, and I decree and declare that the enemy not be able to come and snatch away the word from those hearts that need to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'? Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and turned back into a staff in his hand. 'This,' said the Lord, 'is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.'" He ran from it. I know this probably should go someplace else in this, but I want to say it right now. That staff was Moses' destiny, and Moses ran from it when it changed to something that he wasn't familiar with. And I want to say to you to don't run from your destiny when it changes from what you thought it should be to what God has ordained it to be. Don't run from it. Well, I thought at least I'd get one amen out of that. See, this particular portion of Scripture, if you're familiar with it at all, you know that Moses is at the burning bush. A burning bush. And a burning bush is nothing in itself. Out in the desert, bushes will burn. In California, bushes will burn. But what caught Moses' attention was the fact that this bush was on fire and it was not being consumed. How many of you have ever taken a dried out Christmas tree and lit it on fire? It's pretty for about 10 seconds. And if you're standing too close, the woof and the whoosh will suck you in. And in the desert, there's a lot of dryness. And when something's on fire, it won't last long. So it caught Moses' attention. It was unusual. How many of you have ever seen a burning bush not consumed? Yeah, neither had Moses. Unusual sign. And not only was it being on fire but not consumed, this is something that we need to be, by the way. As God told Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. The ground wasn't holy in and of itself, but it was holy because God was there. When we're in the presence of God, we need to take our shoes off. We need to treat God with respect and the authority and the awe that he deserves. And most of the time we go barging in, especially into prayer, we go barging in, demanding God do things for us. Where's the respect? Where's the awe? He brought you into this world. He can take you out. God's calling Moses. What is he calling him to do? He's calling him to go and lead the people out of Egypt. And so God says, I want you to do this. And just like us, Moses, but God, who am I? I've been in the desert 4 years. I've been tending sheep. Who am I? I killed somebody and they all know it. Who am I? They're not going to listen to me. But God, they're going to say, well, who sent you? Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the power? Who sent you on this mission? But God, I don't speak so well. God, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. See, when it came right down to it, all that other stuff was just fluff. The real reason why he was giving excuses is he didn't want to do it. How many of us, when God speaks to us and tells us to do something and gives us an assignment to do, and we say, no, God, I don't want to do that. Nobody in here has ever done that. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I did that. That's why it took me so long to get to where I'm at now. See, because being a pastor's son, and my dad was an associate pastor for a while, but I also knew that when he became a full-time minister and he was a preacher, I knew what people did to him. I knew how he was treated. Pastor Brian and I were talking this morning, and Sister Karen, we were talking about how, you know, people have this thing that they say, preacher's kids are the worst kind. They're the worst kids. Well, when my dad became a full-time pastor, and I heard that and knew that, you know what? I decided that if that's what they're going to think of me, I'm going to live up to their expectations. And the way preacher's kids get to be the worst kids is because they hang around with the board members and deacons' kids. Where do you think they learn it from? And hey, if you're going to expect me to be a terror, you're going to expect me to be a bad kid, well, you know what? I'm obliging you. And I did a pretty good job of it, too. I remember sneaking out of church one night. And I had a 65 Chevy Impala, 4-speed. I wanted to go someplace, so me and my best friend, one of the Beacons kids, he and I, we left church and we went outside and we pushed my car down the street so nobody could hear it. They couldn't hear us leaving. And we went and did whatever we were going to do. And I guarantee you, it was no good what we were going to do. Because me and my friend, if he didn't think of it, I did. And so we got into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But I'll have to confess, most of the time it was him. It's worth a try anyway, right? You see, Moses gave excuses. Moses, because why? Because Moses saw his inadequacies. Moses knew who he was. Moses knew where he'd failed. Moses knew where he was weak. And yet he was wondering, why, God, were you going to choose me? Well, because God had ordained it before the foundation of the world that Moses See, we take the scriptures and say, but God ordained it for the foundation. We take that for ourselves, but we don't realize and apply it to people back. It was ordained that Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt before he was born, before the foundations of the earth. God had done that for him. See, God's not looking for qualified people. If you're going to wait, you're trying to wait until you're qualified, it's just like trying to get, wait until you get yourself all cleaned up and all good and all great before you come to try Christ and accept salvation. It's like trying to stop the bleeding before you go to the hospital. Duh, hello. Well, I can't go to hospitals, there's sick people there. I can't go to church because there's hypocrites there. He's not looking for qualified people. He's looking for obedient people. Obedient people. He doesn't need your abilities. He needs your availability. Obedience and availability. Guarantee you, in this world, there are people who God had ordained for them. See, that's where when you get self-will comes in. You know, I can make my own decisions, and God gives us a free will. There are people who've missed the calling of God and gone and done their own way, and then God had to get somebody else to do it. And you know something? It's not God's perfect will. I think about all these musicians out in the world. What kind of witness could they have been for Christ, playing and using their abilities and gifts to exalt the name of Jesus? How many of you ever are familiar with Ted Nugent? The Motor City Madman. He had that nickname for a reason. That man can shred that guitar. I remember watching him one time, and my wife was sitting with me. We were watching this guy play the guitar, and I made the comment to her. I said, can you imagine if this guy had been playing for Jesus? Stevie Ray Vaughan. See, the enemy didn't give them those talents. God gave them those talents, and those talents were given to them so that they could glorify God, but because of free will, they chose not to accept salvation, and they chose to glorify the enemy in their music. They are some awesome. Joe Bonamassa. That kid, when he was 13 years old, was better than anybody else I'd ever heard. You Google him and you see he's all over the guitar. Then God says, Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. It's a rod. It's his walking stick. It's his protection. See, God used that Moses and that rod to get the people out of Egypt. What's in your hand? What's that in your hand? With the rod, Moses struck the Nile River and it turned to blood. He brought plagues of frogs out of the water. He struck the dust and turned them into gnats. I enjoy gnats. Not. He stretched it toward heaven to bring down fire, thunder, and hail. He brought a plague of locusts. He divided the Red Sea, struck a rock, and got water. With it, he held it high in the air, and his warriors prevailed in battle. It was what he had in his hand. And Moses called it just a staff. What is it that you have? What is it that's in your hand? What are you holding that God wants to use to set people free? Israelites had been in bondage for hundreds of years. And God used a man and a staff. He used a man and a staff. And he wrought miracles. And God wants to do the same thing with you. With whatever it is that's in your hand. He wants to use that to set people free. He wants you to use that to bring people to Christ. He wants to use whatever it is to edify the body. He wants to use what you have in your hand. Oh, Jochebed, how many of you know who that is? Moses' mom. Jochebed. All she had was some straw, but she wove a basket to make a shelter to protect her son from death. All she had was straw. But God used her and the straw to save a nation, to free a nation. All Miriam had in her hand was a tambourine. There's that word. But she used it to lead the people to celebrate God's faithfulness. I would have had wax in my ears. I'd have been celebrating, but I wouldn't have been celebrating that. I would have had to, oh, Lord. All Hannah had was a small child, but she gave him back to God, and he became a prophet. All Ruth had was a stalk of grain, but God used it to sustain her family's life and lead her by his providence to be included in the lineage of Jesus. All the little boy had was a sack lunch. But Jesus used it to feed over 5,000 people. Probably closer to 15,000 people. It was what he had. It was what they had. It wasn't their, it was their availability. Here I am, God send me. All the widow had was enough food for one more meal for her and her son. But God used it to feed her family and the prophet for the rest of the famine. What do you have? What is it that you have? This doesn't sound much like a Christmas sermon, does it? I've told you before, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. If what God gives me is what God gives me. And I can bring, because after yesterday, and I'll be able to bring in a little bit of Christmas to it. Thank you, Victor. See, because what is it, the gift that you have to give to him? See, what we have is our gift. What we have is the gift that we give to Christ. Just like we give things to people at this time of the year, what are we giving to Christ? All he's asking for is what's in your hand. He's not asking for much, but yet he's asking for everything. Most of us use what we can't do to keep us from doing what we can do. We focus on the negative. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. But what can you do? Because there are things you can do. You can do things. God gave everybody gifts and talents. And you might not think your gift or your talent is much, but guess what? You have it. And somebody else might not. And if you're not going to use it, chances are you'll lose it. Or if nothing else, it'll become very, very emaciated. It'll become withdrawn. It'll need a resurrection. But thank God, I know a God who resurrects things. I know somebody who brings things back to life. Sometimes it's a leap of faith what we're supposed to do. You know, we have to step out. We have to step out. God's asking you. It was a leap of faith for Moses to do that. Like he said before, he had killed somebody and they called him on it. Remember? The two Jews that were fighting and he tried to step in, they say, what are you going to do, kill us too? He thought nobody knew. I've done so well to keep it a secret. So what are they going to do? He stepped out in faith. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Because he believed. My wife and I watched a movie, I think it was last week, might have been last Saturday or something. We watched a movie, and it was called Nail 32. Anybody ever heard of that movie, Nail 32? Yeah, neither had I. Nail 32, it's about a man named Jasper Weaver. And Jasper Weaver was a cowboy. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, he was a cowboy. And he was a rodeo cowboy. And he was at a rodeo, and on Sunday, been drinking the night before, and told his partner, he said, yeah, I got to go to church. I promised my mom I'd go to church. So he went to church. And then at the end of the service, he came down to the front, to the altar, and he knelt, and he gave his life to Christ. What did Jasper Weaver have? He was just a cowboy. And Jasper Weaver was told that because he was a cowboy, he couldn't be a Christian. You can't be a cowboy and you can't be a Christian. And so he tried with all he could to live his life pleasing to God, pleasing to Christ. But it wasn't who he was. And God had put a desire in him, had put birthed something in him that he, to minister to cowboys. And he befriended, or there was a bar owner who befriended him. And the bar owner told him, he said, you know, this place can't be open on Sundays. Because back then, they had laws against that stuff. Especially in, you know, bars couldn't be open on Sundays. A lot of stuff couldn't be open on Sunday. So it was closed on Sunday, he said. And these guys who are in here right now, they're never going to go to a church. But they will come here. So the bottom line of this story is that in the end, Jasper Weaver went back to the rodeo. He almost won the national rodeo. He came in second in the national rodeo. And all along the way, because of his witness and because of his boldness, he spoke out and he spoke for Christ and he ministered and he spoke into people's lives that were cowboys in the rodeo. He spoke into their lives and in the end, they were all saved. And he took that bar that was given to him when the owner had died. They were really good friends. And he gave that bar to him. And some guy tried to come and buy it. And he wouldn't sell it. And he made a church out of that bar. And the place was full. And you know how he decorated the inside? He decorated it like a rodeo arena. What did he have? That's what he had. And God called him and he used what he had. That's all it was. It was one. I'll win one. And then I'll win another one, and the one I won will win one. And then we'll, and it starts something. I'm winning one. And it's multiplication. It's multiplying itself. And pretty soon, the church is full of people. Why? Because one person won one person. And that's one of the things that we're going to be praying about this next year. And I've been thinking about it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a sign, and I'm going to hang it right up there. Whether it looks ugly or not, I'm sorry. We're going to hang it up there. And the sign is going to say, win one. Win one. Make the difference in one person's life this year. Just one. Do you know how many people will be in this church if every person in here wins one soul? Look around. Just one. I'm only asking for one. Just one. Well, how am I going to do that? You're going to do it by using what you have. Letting God use what's in your hand to win one. Each one, win one. It's not difficult. Might be scary. It might be something you've never done before. But I tell you what, when you lead somebody to Christ, there's no greater feeling. The only greater feeling is when you're saved yourself. Win one. There's a song that I've heard on the radio here recently, and it's been done by a group called Casting Crowns, and the title of the song is called Nobody. Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the not quites, with all the never get it rights. But it turns out they're the ones you're looking for all the time. Because I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright. David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. So let me go down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. And if they forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. Just one. Just one. One of the things you have to realize is you can't shrink back when the heat's applied. Because there's going to be heat applied to your life when you try to win one. When you use what's in your hand, what God, you know, that just whatever it is, whatever it is, when you try to use that for the kingdom of God, you're going to take heat for it. When I was in the Air Force, I went through basic electronics. And the last block of the first 6 weeks of my tech school was soldering. And one of the things that they taught us in soldering is that the insulation on a wire, as the heat is applied, if you apply too much heat, the insulation will start to shrink back. And it melts it. Well, you don't want the wire conductors exposed. So you have to apply just the right amount of heat. See, God knows exactly how much heat's going to be applied. Because then another thing that happens, if you put too much heat for too long, you end up with a cold solder joint. And a cold solder joint is a joint that doesn't conduct very well. They call it cold for a reason. Because there's nothing. The signal will get there, the power will get there, but it won't go anywhere else because it's destroyed. God knows. And if we trust him, and we stand with him, and we believe in him, that he knows exactly how much heat we'll take. So as not to create a cold solder joint and not to keep this, let the insulation shrink back. I want my insulation to be where it's supposed to be. And I want my joints to be conductive. I want there to be flow. Hello? I see all your eyes open. You must be awake. Unless you've learned like Joe. Joe used to say that he would sleep on a flight deck and they'd sleep with their eyes open. See, Moses' rod changed to a serpent when he threw it down. When we let go of what God's asking for us, he changes it to something else. As I said before, it will change, but it's something that he creates, and it's not something that we've created. Sometimes we even run from God. It's too intense. It's too complicated. It's too big. It's too scary. But in my weakness, he's made strong. And he's responsible for the outcome. I'm not. All I'm responsible for is being obedient and being available. So I'm going to ask again, what do you have? What is it that's in your hand that God is wanting to use? You may be like Jasper Weaver and just a cowboy and have, but God can use it. God can use whatever you have, whoever you are, the experiences that you have in your life, the things that you think don't amount to much. God says, hey, I want to take those things and I want to use them for my glory and to bring other people in, because you can speak into somebody's life that I can't. Now, don't get me wrong. I've done a lot of things. I got a lot of experience. But there are still people that I can't speak into their life because I don't have a connection. What do I have? Well, I'm just a farmer. You got people. You're around people, aren't you? I just work in construction. And? Well, I'm retired. You really have no excuse. You got time on top of time. But I don't know the Bible backwards and forwards and in and out. It doesn't matter. You know what God did for you. You know where God brought you from. You know how God has changed you and how he's with you. It's all he's asking for. It's all he's asking for. Let's all stand. So what gift are you going to give to Christ this year? What gift, what is it that's in your hand that you can give him as a gift? There's always a way to bring Christmas in. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. No one looking around. You say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. But that's the gift that I want to give him this year, is the gift of my heart. I want to be able to give what's in my hand, because I haven't surrendered anything to him yet, but I want to do that. If you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all had that, make that choice. We all had to take that step. You're not the lone stranger. So you would say, now, Pastor, I have things. I want to give God what I have. I just want him to use me. I just want him to speak through me and to bring people to Christ through me. I want to have a love for people. And I want to use whatever it is that he's given me that I have. I want you to raise your hand if that's you. Amen. Thank you for those hands. You'd say, I haven't been available or obedient. There are things that I know that God has called and asked me to do, and I've been reluctant, and I've been giving God excuses. That's you. I want you to raise your hand. Amen. Now I want to ask that you come to the front. I want to pray for you. It might not be much, but I tell you what, God can take whatever it is and make it significantly greater when he's involved in it. You might be unemployed. God can still use what you have. You might be the CEO of a company. God can use you. Pastor, I'm homeless. God can still use you. All he's asking is to be available and to be obedient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.